I've come here today with a message from God for you. A message you need to hear. It is a message about leprosy. The law of leprosy, as it's given in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. I want you to open your Bibles to those two chapters and just hold them open on your lap as we look at these chapters together and see what God teaches us by the law of leprosy. In these two chapters, God gives specific laws regarding all kinds of leprosy. Strange as it may seem, he describes leprosy in a man, and then leprosy in clothes, and then leprosy in houses. And these laws God gave in the law of leprosy were given by inspiration to teach us how to distinguish between that which is clean and that which is unclean. Let's begin by reading the last few verses of chapter 14, verse 54, and this will summarize the two chapters at once. Leviticus 14, 54. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. The law is given to teach us when a thing is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. The Lord God sent this horrible plague of leprosy into the earth. It didn't just arise, God sent it into the earth, specifically to be a representation and picture of sin and the consequences of sin. The progress of leprosy in a man shows us the progress of ruin in the race of humanity. The cleansing of leprosy by blood sprinkling, by atonement, and by the pronouncement of grace show us God's way of saving sinners. By the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ upon the altar of God, the acceptance of atonement, and by God's pronouncement of grace by the power of His Spirit from Christ our great high priest, who declares His people clean. In these two instructive chapters, Leviticus 13 and 14, God speaks to us about this matter of plague, I repeat, in men, in garments, and in houses. Now, I'm deliberately going to spend the bulk of my time where it needs to be spent, talking about leprosy in men. In chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, the law of leprosy deals with leprous men. The plague of leprosy portrays for us the personal depravity of all human beings, all the sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race. Look at verse 1, chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Verse 9. And when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, Wheresoever the priest looketh, he sees nothing but leprosy. Now remember, back up in the first verses, the leprosy's here and there, scattered all over, and the priest says he's unclean. But now the leprosy covers him from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. When the priest looks on him, the only thing he can see is leprosy. Leprosy. Verse 13. Then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. What a strange, strange, strange pronouncement. When the man is covered from head to foot, all white, he's clean. While he's got spots of leprosy here and there. Spots of leprosy in his head, on his face, on his arms, on his back, around his waist, down his legs, on his feet. Spots of leprosy in his hands. All the while he has spots of leprosy, he's unclean. But when he is completely covered from head to foot with leprosy, God says, the priest is to look at him and say, he is clean. And then God says, there's a reason for that. He is clean. He is clean. So it is with sin. Leprosy begins deep within and works its way outward. A man may have leprosy for a long time, 3, 4, 5 years, before it ever shows any signs in his outward appearance. And then he would just have a rising, a boil, a scab, a small tumor, or a bright spot in his flesh. And those things are the signs of leprosy. They don't cause it. They're the signs of it. They simply reveal the existence of a corruption within. Sin primarily is an inward thing. The plague of our race is a plague of the heart. Our problem is leprosy. Not leprosy broken out in the flesh, but leprosy in the heart. Sin in the heart. Out of the heart, the cesspool of human life. The septic tank of human corruption. Your heart. Out of the heart proceeds all evil. Religion likes to deal with outward things. Religion gets you to join the church, get baptized, and start acting right, and quit drinking and cussing and smoking and chewing and horsing around and stuff like that. You know, as you start acting better. Oh, what a godly man he is! I remember when he used to be a drunk. I remember when you used to couldn't trust him. Oh, but things have changed now. We've cut off the limbs. That's how religion deals with men. Grace deals with sinners from the inside and works outward. Grace never begins in the outward formalities and the outward works of religion. Grace, God's saving grace, begins working within. You see, man looks on the outward appearance. And man's impressed with the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. And this is what he sees in your heart. Iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, we don't like to think about that. We don't like to acknowledge that. It's easy enough to acknowledge things we've done that are wrong. Easy enough to acknowledge the evil ways we've lived. In fact, if a fella has been in prison for great, horrible crimes and he gets a little dose of religion, folks will bring him out and have him preaching everywhere. And the more he brags about his crimes, the better. Because we like to talk about outward things. But nobody wants to deal honestly with what he is. Nobody wants to honestly face what's in him. No one wants to honestly acknowledge the sin, the depravity, the uncleanness, the leprosy of the heart. We like to talk like we think. Well, he's a good boy. I know her, she's got a good heart. We talk like we think. And we talk like we want to convince others to think, well, he's really good at heart. The fact is, you're really not good at heart. You're really corrupt at heart. Evil at heart. All the evil that's in the world that you claim to despise is the evil that's cherished in your heart. I am surprised every time I get surprised at the report of some evil thing a man has done. We see something on the news. My first thoughts, David, how could a man do such a thing as that? My first ungodly, self-righteous, vile thoughts. Because I could do that. And you could do that. And it shouldn't surprise us if any of us did that, whatever it is. Why? Because the heart is corrupt with leprosy, the filthy disease. Physician of my sin-sick soul, to thee I bring my case. My raging malady control and heal me by thy grace. Pity the anguish I endure. See how I mourn and pine, for never can I hope for cure from any hand but thine. I would disclose my whole complaint, but where shall I begin? No words of mine can fully paint that worst distemper sin. It lies not in a single part, but through my frame is spread a burning fever in my heart, a palsy in my head. It makes me deaf and dumb and blind and impotent and lame, and overclouds and fills my mind with folly, fear, and shame. 1,000 evil thoughts intrude, tumultuous in my breast, which indispose me for my food and rob me of my rest. Lord, I am sick. Regard my cry and set my spirit free. Say, canst thou let a sinner die who longs to live to thee? Now hear me. God help you to hear me. You will never be saved by the grace of God until you confess your sin. You will never be saved by the grace of God until you confess your sin. It won't happen. Not to me. I don't need to hear about it, and I don't want to hear about it. Not to the church. If you were to walk up to me and say, I need to confess my sin to the church, I'd say, let's go talk in the office. They don't need to hear about it. And they don't want to hear about it. Not to a priest. He wants to hear about it. He doesn't need to. Not to another man. Men love to hear about it, and they love to act like priests. But if you confess your sin to God, then there's hope. Oh, God help you now to confess your sin. Not just the evil things you've done, but your sin. rip open your heart before God and confess your sin. Open that black, dark cesspool of iniquity. Hide nothing. Bow before God like the publican. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you will go home today justified. You will go home today with the word from God spoken to you. Clean! If you confess your sin. I have told you no one will ever be saved except that man, that woman, who for himself confesses his sin. Now, understand this too. No one will ever confess his sin to God and not have God's salvation. It won't happen. The leper had to be brought to the priest. He must come, but he could only come if someone brought him to the priest. And the priest looked at the leper and dealt with the leper according to his case and dealt with him plainly. You and I have the privilege of bringing folks, leprous sinners, to the priest. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we carry the gospel of God's grace to sinners around the world. And you meet with men and women every day in your various walks of life. Ah, leprous men. Leprous sinners. Men whose lives are corroding away. If you should meet a man on your way home today who'd just been hit by a car laying in the middle of the road, you would pick him up and take him to the hospital, wouldn't you? Or call an ambulance and see to it he got to the hospital, wouldn't you? I know you would. But you meet with folks every day at your kitchen table, at your work, in school, in the grocery store, bump into them at a ball game. Leprous. Dying. And treat them as if you knew nothing of their need or the cure. Oh, don't be so hard, so cruel. Rather, be like those four men who had a friend who was sick with palsy and could by no means get to the Savior, and they came and brought him to the Master and tore down the rooftop and let him down through the roof. And when they did, the Lord Jesus, seeing their faith, said to that man, "You're whole." The leper had to be brought to the priest. And the priest did not make him clean. But rather the leper came with a sacrifice. A sacrifice, the scriptures tell us, a lamb, or if he's poor and he can't get a lamb, a turtle dove or a pigeon. And then it says, if he's poor, such as he can get. What a good word. He brings a sacrifice. Such as he can get. And by the blood of that sacrifice, atonement is made. And the leper stands before the priest. Now, the atonement made. And there's nothing in him but leprosy. Nothing in him but leprosy. Top of his head, the bottom of his feet, all white with leprosy. That's a picture of you who are born of God. When a man, a woman, is made to see that he's nothing else but sin, that man, that woman, had been born of God, washed in blood. And as he confesses his sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses him from all sin. And the priest in heaven sends his spirit down to the earth and says he's clean. For you see, this great priest, our high priest, the Lord Jesus, portrayed here in Aaron and his sons, came to the leper. He came down to the leper. Not only did he come down here to the lepers, he made himself a leper. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And when he brings his grace to the sinner, he takes that sinner for whom blood was shed and sin was cleansed, washed away at Calvary, and he speaks to the sinner. And he says to the sinner, you're clean. And now the sinner, who had been shut out from the congregation, is received of God and received by the congregation. Consciously so, because now he's clean. He's clean. He'd been made clean by the pronouncement of grace in his heart. So that the blood sprinkled on his conscience says he has no more guilt of sin. Now he's free from sin. He's free from sin, and he sees that he is clean before God. Oh, what grace, what grace, what grace. Clean before God. How can I persuade you to come to Christ? That's my business, but I can't do it. So as I speak, I pray that God, the Holy Ghost, who can and does bring sinners to Christ by almighty, omnipotent grace, will be pleased to seize your heart and graciously bring you, poor lepers, to the Savior. We read in 2 Kings about four lepers who were sitting by the gates outside Samaria, a time of famine. And they were dying, and they began to reason to themselves. And one said to the other, why sit we here and die? If we go to Samaria, they're starving to death too. No point in going there. Let's fall out to the Syrians. If we go into Syria and they see we're leprous men, they may kill us on the way in. But we're just going to die. And if we stay here, we're going to die. And so they said, that's a pretty good idea. At least there's hope the Syrians might have some food and might throw us a crumb here and there. And the four of them got up and went into Syria. And God had driven the Syrians out, and everything was there that they needed. Why sit where you are and die? Come to the Savior. Come to the Savior. Pastor, you've been telling me all my life I can't come. I know I can't come. If you come, you can. If you come, you can. And if you come, it's because God has brought you to the Savior. Come to Christ and live forever. And this I declare to you on authority of God's own word. You come to Christ with all your leprosy. With all your leprosy. And he will take you with him to glory. This is what he says. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What he said. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You mean, Pastor, if right now I come to Christ, God will save me? No. I mean, if right now you come to Christ, God has saved you. You're clean. And I mean to tell you something else. Everybody who must have Christ, everybody who's got to have him, everybody who, give me Christ or else I die. Everybody who must have him shall have him. And as long as you can get along without him, you'll go to hell without him. You see, this is all together. God's grace by which sinners are saved. Altogether, God's work by which sinners are saved. And altogether, your fault if you choose to go to hell thinking you're good. Oh, now I know I've got some spots. I got a little rising here, a white hair there, yellow hair there. I got a little scab here, a little boil here. You think you're good. But if you must have Christ, if leprosy covers you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, death working out from your dead hearts, then life eternal is yours in Christ Jesus. Look at the next thing. The law of leprosy deals with leprous garments. Chapter 14. This plague of leprosy in the garments speaks of the corruption of all we touch. Oh, how corrupting our lives in this world are. We who are fathers, so anxious to have our children born in this world, and the one thing we're dead sure going to give them is death. Sin. Corruption. Because our seed is corrupt. And then we want to do them good. But our influence is corrupted. If my leprous hands touch a thing, it's defiled. If your leprous hands touch a thing, it's defiled. The bulk of these two chapters deal with leprosy in men and women, but here the law of leprosy deals with leprosy in garments and in houses. Look at verse 47, chapter 13. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be woolen garment or linen garment, whether it be a garment made out of something from a lamb that God made, or made out of something that man's made, linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof. That's the various stitchings in a garment, the way the threads are made. Stitches this way, that way, going in and out. Whether it be in the warp or woof of linen or of woolen, whether it be in a skin or in anything made of skin. Verse 52. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen, or anything of skin wherein the plague is. For it is a fretting leprosy. It shall be burnt with fire. What's this talking about? What's the significance? Which of you ever heard tell of leprosy in clothes? Where did you ever read about it in a book except in this book? Well, why is this law given? Because garments speak of those things in which people wrap themselves. Garments are those things that you put on to cover your nakedness. Garments are those things you put on to protect yourself from the elements. Garments refer to religion. Oh, how we love our garments of religion, the things we wrap ourselves in, by which we hope to cover ourselves from God. For some, it's a creedal religion. For some, it's a sacerdotal religion. For some, it's a religion of this work or that, a work of man's decision. We've got us a wrapping. Oh, it feels so good. It's a wonderful. Look here how pretty my garment is. Don't you want to brag on my garment? This is a garment that I've had from passed down from my father for many generations. It's been in our family for a long time. See this crown? You see these rings? These bracelets? See this necklace? You see this this robe I'm wearing? It's been in the family for a long time. Oh, this one. This is what I made that. I worked hard to get the money to get the material to make that. I've got these shoes and this outfit. Oh, look, don't I look good in my garment? Don't I look good in my garment? Your garments got leprosy in it. If you touched it, it's got leprosy in it. And there's only one thing to do with your leprous garment. Burn it. Burn it. All your religious works, all your religious confessions and creeds and experiences and knowledge, all your religious doings, all those things are things that Jude speaks of as a garment spotted by the flesh to be despised. You take the garment and burn it. Burn it with fire. No matter how costly. No matter how long it's been in the family. No matter how beautiful it appears. It's to be burnt. If there's so much as one spot of leprosy in the warp or in the woof. I had Shelby look this up for me last night. I had gotten my memory had forgotten. I'd looked up just early in the week. The warp, that's the threads running the length of the fabric. The woof, the threads running this way, all mixed in together. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about your good works toward men or your good works toward God, there's a spot of leprosy in your garment. And any garment of your making, you must burn. Throw away the filthy garments, the leprous garments of religion and religious profession and religious experience and religious knowledge and cling to Christ. Sadly, most everyone likes to cling to religion. And for you who are God, Satan would have you push Christ aside and cling to religion and wrap yourself up in your religious garments. Cast them aside and burn them. Burn them. God help me never to forget what you've done for me by your grace. God, help me never to forget any sweet experience of repentance and faith, of conviction and learning, of downcasting and rising again, of languishing and reviving. Let me never forget any. And God, let me never look to any for hope. But wrap myself in this
garment. This garment.
I don't often wear a robe at home. I wear my pajamas. I'm a little hot-natured, and that's enough for me. But when it gets real cool, I have a robe. You wouldn't believe my robe. I think my wife got it for me back when I was pushing 400 pounds, and three of us could have got in it then. It's a robe big enough for the world. We could all get in it, tied up, and you wouldn't feel any wind. Let me tell you something. I get in that thing now, and I'm so skinny, and I wrap that thing around me almost twice, and tie it. Come on, wind, I'm all right. Let me tell you about a robe. A robe big enough for you and me. A spotless white robe called the garments of salvation. Linen white robe called righteousness. His name is Christ. Put him on. And you stand before God clean. But you can't put him on except you burn every other robe, every other garment. This is a garment, a covering broad enough to wrap yourself in with complete comfort. Now, the third aspect of the law of leprosy deals with leprous houses. Again, I ask you, which of you ever heard tell of a leprous house? Where did you ever read about one? Except right here in the book of God. The plague of leprosy in the house is obviously intended of God to teach us something spiritual. Look at verse 33 in chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. This is a plague, a leprosy, that God says, I put into the house. And then he tells us what's got to be done. The priest has got to come in and look at that house. But before the priest comes in to look at that house, you got to move out. You got to move out of the house. And then the priest is going to scrape it. And then he's going to tear it down, timber by timber. And everything in that house is going to be taken out and burnt. Even the mortar joints. Ground up, thrown in the fire, and burnt. That's a pretty good picture of what God's doing for us. This leprous house has to be burned. It's got to be destroyed. But it's got to be emptied first. Referring both to these physical bodies and to this earth. We know that if our earthly house and this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, a house not made with hands, a building of God eternal in the heavens. But to get into that, you've got to move out of this. The same is true with regard to this earth. In the last day, when our Lord Jesus comes, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are called up to meet the Lord in the air and descend with our Lord to this earth in judgment. The priest exercises judgment upon the earth, and he's going to tear it down, every timber in the house, every mortar joint. He's going to take it and burn it, and then make it new. Behold, I make all things new. And in that new house, the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no leprosy, no disease, no corruption, no sin. And the priest shall pronounce everybody entering into this house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. The priest shall pronounce them clean to all the world. And we shall enter in to that everlasting kingdom, that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now listen to me. We shall enter in worthy of God. Worthy of God. Worthy, because he doesn't just pronounce us clean. He says, you see Don Fortner there? You see him? Take a good look. He is clean. Oh, may God speak that to you for Christ's sake. Amen.